We all have days of testing and days of ease. So we wouldn't feel the ease if we didn't have the test. And the test is where the pearls are made. But inshallah, that's, you know, what our spiritual maturing is hopefully guiding us to find the ease within the test, the ease within the fire, and to see that, because our true ease ultimately is nearness to Allah. I mean, it's not ease in the world, although that's good. You know, we're not asking for hardships in the world, but it's the nearness to Allah that brings us the true ease and joy. So, because the other, once we have nearness to Allah, everything else falls into perspective, you know. And first of all, you know that it's not going to endure. No test will endure. Everything comes to, you know, an end. And then you have such a great friend, you know, to talk to about it and to sit with in the test. And sometimes one feels one can draw closer to Allah in when one's heart and or body and mind and circumstances are being tested. There's a special sweetness about that. But again, I mean, you know, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim on all levels of being. But, you know, knowing and learning to trust, that's also where we learn to trust in the test. Because if there's no test, how can we really say we trust? You know, it's great to trust while you have ground on your feet and you're standing there. It's when the ground starts to shake, then you know that you're really trusting. And trusting is such an immense spiritual station. Because it means that we, in some way, we know our Lord. You know, at least to some degree, that we know Allah's all merciful, we know Allah loves us, that we know Allah will bring us, inshallah, to a good end. You know, inshallah, all of these things. Although Rabia Dawiya said she didn't know. That was her, you know. But she was at that station. Let's be at our place. And for our place, it's appropriate to feel that, you know, our station is good. And actually for those who love Allah, as Hazrat Ali said, you know, the report of you in one of his prayers, he said, Allah, it is a report of you, has never been reported of you that, you know, that you will not support your lovers and that you will not bring good to your lovers, no matter what the apparent test is. And that Allah always turns in mercy when we beg, and sometimes we receive gifts in those moments, because that's when we truly pray. Effendi said in that wonderful book that I recommended we all read, Unveiling of Love, that that book is so powerful, and I started reading it again after many, many years. And in that book he says, you know, one cry, Allah, by the lover, can be more than thousands and thousands of Allahs, just recite Allah, 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 dutifully, or one cry from the heart of Allah. And it's often, it takes those circumstances to make us cry like that. Otherwise, you know, we might not. So, and if we can give thanks, and this is another thing, the beautiful master and friend Effendi said, that if we can give thanks for those moments, then Allah will actually remove the test much more quickly. And it's a very profound experience to give thanks. I mean, I'm not saying I'm very good at that myself, but if it, you know, the couple of times it happened when I could remember to do that, it was remarkable. Because first of all, it detaches you somewhat from the circumstance. You are no longer a victim. You are, in a sense, beyond that. You become beyond both worlds. When you can give thanks for your tests, and then the test is, you know, you see it really more for what it is, more of a passing and a surface event, that it can never touch the essence of who you are. So, and again, it becomes like Effendi's, like Mevlana's guest house, you know, that practice of meeting the guests at the door, all the states and events at the door, and welcoming them. And you become the owner of the guest house, only to disappear the next moment in the true owner. Alhamdulillah. We are now in the month of Muharram, and we actually saw the moon, maybe some of you did, that first moon rise. So that was the new year, the first day of the new year of in the Islamic cycle, in the Quranic cycle. And although Quranic cycle includes, I would say, all the calendars, so it's in one of them. And the Monday is the 10th of Muharram. So I'd like to offer a zikr on that evening, and on it, which is normally our mesh night, in honor of Imam Hussein, rahmatullah alayh, who is, if we imagine in the realm of the imagination, he's standing, and he will be standing eternally in that, as much as we can say eternally from this creation, in that desert with his companions, and taking on the negativity of the world and facing it with love and with total immersion in Allah and total trust, total love, total peaceful heart. And his whole life really, in a sense, brought him to that moment. If we think of all his moments in his life and his moments with his grandfather, peace be upon him, of being carried on his shoulders, of being cared for and loved and taught, and then sitting at the knee of his father, Hazrat Imam Ali, radiallahu anhu, and learning from him, both Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, learning from the great Ali. I mean, can you imagine there's no more noble lineage than to be born of Fatima and Ali, and to have as one's grandfather the final prophet, peace be upon him, and to grow up in that atmosphere and that ocean, and to drink from that daily, and then to come to stand for all humanity on that plain of Karbala. So, as it said, our last moment is our best moment, and our whole life leads up to that. So that was his great passing. That was his great passing, standing for humanity. So we feel our hearts drawn into his orbit, and inshallah may we be counted among those who stood with him and who offered their lives with his life. And as we know, that day of Ashura is also the day of salvation. So it was a day of salvation for the way of love and the way of truth that the Prophet Muhammad brought. And then it was a day of salvation for many prophets and their followers, and who were rescued from the fire, who was ascended into heaven, who crossed through the Red Sea, and others that we don't know about. Oh, when Noah came to land, all of these, it said, happened on this 10th of Muharram. So it's an extraordinary day. It's amazing. It's the 10th day of the new year. 10 being a kind of completion or perfection. And so it points to all of us, again, that our trials, inshallah, if endured patiently, as to the degree that we can, it's in our ability to bring patience, will become you know, a crowning, will we will be saved. Oh Allah, you are the savior of your believing servants. That's in our evening weird. You are the savior of our believing servants, and you are the rejoicer of our hearts. So again, this day combines both a tragedy and immense joy and bliss. And Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhu, had this was his life. This is how he wanted and desired to live his life and offer his life. So it's not that he thought, oh, well, you know, if only I could live 10 more years, or I could bring so much good to the community, or something like that. This was his gift. This was his life. His passing was his life. And it was the giving of this life to this path of life and to all who follow, and really to the whole world. Again, every sacred act is a gift for the whole world, for each one of us. We inherit that. So he brought the life-giving to the entire world. And the proof that love is triumphant and that faith is triumphant. And again, that to take that royal station of that clear proof, there needs to be the opponents, the enemies. This is why it says every prophet comes with an enemy, you know, so that the light can be brought out. It's like the spark in the stone, you know, it's struck, and that brings out the light. So it's a very amazing thing, you know. And Rumi certainly talks about that. When we look deeper into creation, it's not just so simple as, you know, well, there's good and bad, but that in a sense the negativity brings out the higher good. So we should not fear it. We take refuge in Allah from it. But it has its place, clearly. And yet we pray for it to be quelled, for it to be, you know, dissolved. So, alhamdulillah. So we'll dedicate the zikr on Monday, and we'll dedicate tonight's zikr to also to Effendi, Musafir Effendi, rahmatullah alayhi, who was a descendant of Imam Hussein, and who, at his passing, wept tears of blood when the earth from Imam Hussein's from Karbala was placed. He asked that when he died be placed on his eyes, and it might be I don't know if that's a tradition with the sheikhs or with, and tears of blood came out, and he said that that's what would happen, and it actually happened. So you know, he was not only a descendant, he was an embodiment of Imam Hussein, an embodiment of that tolerance, of that open-mindedness, of that gentleness, and that courage. Effendi was, mashallah, I mean, mashallah. It goes, you don't think the human form is capable. When you met Effendi, you didn't feel almost that the human condition or the human nature was capable of such a grand and magnificent embodiment of spirit. And sometimes it felt like he were just bursting almost, couldn't be contained in his frame. As he said of Mansur al-Halaj, he said that, you know, all the saints have those states of Mansur. But he said the difference with Mansur is that he kept his stoke in the fire all the time. You know, he never took it out, so it never cooled, because there's the, you know, the exaltation and the ecstasy and the wedge, and then there's the cooling off, the day and the night and the sun and the moon. But he said Mansur al-Halaj he couldn't take it out. He was always in this state of wedged and ecstasy and utter longing for Allah. And so that it would become unbearable for him, really. He said that he actually asked to be killed. So we can't blame those who signed that paper that it was a gift to him. And sometimes we felt that way with Effendi toward the latter part of his life, certainly. So inshallah, may we not just look upon them as great examples and see them as these, you know, luminous beings, but may we merge into them, that's the longing, and become them, and disappear into them, and reappear in them. May their qualities become our qualities. And by focusing on them, this is one of the ways, one of the practices in tariqa is muraqaba, which, you know, it's a form of contemplation where you contemplate the great sheikhs, and you can contemplate the Prophet, peace be upon him, and you can, or the peer, or Effendi, or Nur. And it's a wonderful thing. So you see them sitting in front of you, you know, knee to knee, and you just sit in their presence, and it's a sense, it's a way of merging into them. So maybe we make that, let's make that our practice this December, so reading his book and contemplating and sitting knee to knee with Sheikh Musaffer and feeling merging into his being. You can feel him here. So for a Fatiha for him, and then we'll set up for zikr. Through the secret heart of our peers, a Fatiha, Allah, Irma, Sari Allah, Sayyidina Muhammad. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And let's have the Ashura, so we'll have a meal on Monday. We'll have that a special Ashura dish, which is the pulses and the grains from Noah's Ark, all put together. It's a very interesting symbol also of humanity, you know, that the multiplicity and the variety of humanity that we participate in that. And the Day of Ashura is special also because it truly is. It's a celebration of all the prophets and therefore of all the traditions, because it says every prophet received, you know, either an ascension or a salvation on that day. So that we assume that Lord Buddha and all of them, Krishna and all prophets, all the mothers, you know, who brought prophetic messages, white buffalo calf woman, for the Native Americans here in North America. So it is a universal day. It's interesting.